over the years, we talked about the unfolding revelation, and we kept getting kind of, I think, updates in our mind as to what this could possibly be. But I don't think that we have had even a clue as to what the future is happening, but it is going to ahead of us as yet. Jesus said that with God all things are possible. Well, that doesn't equate with the human mind. I can't possibly think of anything that it would be impossible, that, you know, there, it would be possible for anything whatsoever that whosoever determined to do it. It doesn't equate. And this morning, I was thinking about it. I mean, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, but this morning I got thinking about the awesomeness of God. And with my limited understanding and the planetary systems and the things that exist, and you know, mankind in his ignorance has all kinds of theories as to how this came about. But every theory that I've ever heard is so crazy, stupid. Because there's not any possible way, any theory that man has ever come up with could be the foundation for what exists. It's impossible. And so man lives, you know, 70 years or whatever, and most of that, some of that time, his mind is working properly. And in this time frame, he is determining how everything that exists took place. And I am beginning to come into contact, or into, I don't know what the right word, contact doesn't even mean the right word, but something with a creator who is so awesome and so far beyond my understanding that I can't even determine who he is or what he does, or I can't, the Bible says that you shall not make a graven image. I can understand why. What do we have within ourselves that can comprehend God? Well, anyway, having said all that, there is something, you know, if we are to know God, whom to know is life eternal, if that's what we're supposed to do, then how do you know someone whose ways are past finding out? Well, you know what? The scriptures give us the answers to the questions that we have. But what we have to do is we've got to wait till God even reveals the scripture that answers the question. And John the Baptist said, in the third chapter of John, he says, no man can receive anything except it is given to him from above, from heaven. And so if we want to know God, and by faith we understand, which doesn't make any sense either, not to the natural man. No wonder the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. So here we are, we're trying to understand God from a human perspective, and it's impossible. It requires God to reveal himself. It somehow he does a supernatural work. And so here we are. We're starting to dedicate ourselves. I don't even know what the right word. Which are somehow God is beginning to do a work in us of a supernatural thing. And so I'm starting to work or to walk in a place where God is a reality, a constant reality, and a something that I have never known. I have said over the years, you ask people, they say, do you know God? Oh, yeah, I know God. And it's like, well, tell me about him. And we can't, how do you describe him? How do you define someone that, of such intelligence and such awesome ability that he can do the things that exist around us? How do you define him? And so I have no definition that defines God. I can't say this is, you know. At the same time, I have never heard any definition by anybody, and I've heard a lot of them over the years, that has any, even a clue as to the greatness and the things that exist around it. There's not anyone has a clue. And so, I have been, after all of these years of preaching and teaching and serving the Lord and reading the Bible, I have been changing the most in the last months and years, but especially the last month, the last week. This last week has been an inward change, and the thing confusing is that I can't put my finger on it. I can't say this is what has happened or this is what has happened. So that when the Bible says the kingdom of God comes without observation, it's without me observing it either. I don't know what's happening, because God is so awesome, and being a spirit being, or a spirit being spirit, it's hard not to define, isn't it? The Bible doesn't say he's a spirit. Thanks to Ken making that really obvious and clear from the scriptures. The Bible says he's spirit, which changes the nature. And so the Bible says that by these exceeding great and precious promises, and you know what happens? It says we become partakers of God's divine nature. But we can't describe him. We can't define him. How does it happen? What happens just because of the word? You know what? I have come to the conclusion, and be real bold in this, I've come to the conclusion that God created us to know this. And so the Bible tells us, I mean, what does it say from Genesis to Revelation? It says the same thing that it says in Psalms 1:1 and 2. Blessed is the man whose delight, not one of his delights, whose delight is in the Word of God. And on this Word does he meditate day and night. So when God began to breathe upon me to listen to the Scriptures day and night, I was only doing what the Scriptures already told me to do, but I didn't recognize it. I never saw it. And we see Psalms 1 and 2 where it says, blessed is the man that does this. You know what? By the constant intake of the Scriptures, we discover that there's lots of verses that tell us that. That's an eye-opener. I can quote some of them. Then every so often I read another one, like the one that we read. I read just recently out of Isaiah 59:21. Phenomenal verse. He says, these words that I'm telling you, keep them in your mouth. Keep them in your children's mouth. Keep them in your children's children's mouth. Why? Because God created us. Not only by the Word. The Bible says that we are created by the Word. We are newly created by the Word. We are born again by the Word. And so, everything that exists is founded on the Word of God. By faith we understand that the heavens were created by the Word of God. Now, whether it means exact word that we have here, or by the word of the one that spoke these words, in what difference does it make? And I don't know. I'm understanding something here, and it's hard to relate it. But I'm beginning to understand that this is what happened to me was not a coincidence, an accident, or something of a just a once in a while thing. What happened to me was a blessing and a supernatural intervention by God to get me and whosoever else would listen into a constant relationship with a word that is life and spirit. And some listened and some heard themselves. And after, if you listen to the, if somebody tells you that and you listen to it and you start doing it, after a while you hear it yourself. You don't even have to go by the one that said something. You know what I'm saying? And so the ones that have heard this thing have also heard it. It's kind of like the Samaritans. They told this woman, they said, when you told us about it, I said, we believed you. We believed. But now we really believe. Because we have heard him ourselves. See, and so, what are the scriptures? The Bible tells us these are the words of God through Christ. God spoke through his Son, and so here it is. These are the words of God through Christ. And it is the word of God. Well, anyway, I'm going to sit down. I won't necessarily stay there, but... Good to see that Joe and Margaret battled the elements. And
this is going to all have to be by the Lord, because I don't know if I'm prepared for what I'm thinking or not. The last week was just dwelling a lot in Hebrews and cross going back and forth, and they give little things, you know, from the Psalms and everything, and I was just trying to see how things relate, but I was just sitting here this morning thinking, you know, we're coming here and we're sharing what we believe God has given us, and they're truths that most of the church world probably doesn't or wouldn't accept right now if they heard it. But, and I thought, so how do you explain what happened? Well, first of all, if you don't hear it from God by the Spirit, you won't get it. You know? Truth or revelation. And so what makes us think why we got it or whatever? Well, I sat here and I thought, you know, there's a pastor here, there's three elders and their families, and there's the others, couple, you know, like Bonnie and so forth that come, and then Pablo's family. Every single person have humbled themselves and admitted that they don't know anything. Gee, could that be a setting for why God blesses us in this particular thing? You know, because we know it's not because of us. You know, God did it, God does it, and God will do it. You know, and that's because that's who he is. And if he does anything in us, it's because he did it. You know, it's not us. Other than that one factor. And it says, if you will humble yourselves, then God will begin to share himself with you. You know, it's a... So, if you are sitting out there and whatever, or listening to this tape, and you're going, no, this revelation of the Godhead, whatever, that can't be so. Are you open to the Spirit? Because if you're not open and humbling yourself, then you're not going to get it. And it's going to be, that's going to be the separation. And that's, and if that's what it is, that's what it is. You know, Jesus He said, I don't judge you, but the words that I speak will judge you. So, if we're speaking from the Word, you may be getting judged, depending on how you receive it. We've been judged, you know. I've been judged by this Word. I know it. And so, if right away you go, no, that can't be, well, okay, see you later, kind of. I mean, seriously. Because Jesus didn't stick around to try to explain to people. He went on to minister to whoever. And he ministered and ministered, and lots of them accepted him, until all of a sudden he said something that just they couldn't handle. Then they walked away. Is that who you want to be? Or do you want to humble yourself? I mean, it's a big deal. Nobody wants to think that they don't know anything. But that's where you got to get with God. You know? Because He knows everything. He knows you and everything about you. So, you know, I was, in regards to Hebrews, it's that if God is Spirit, then who is the Holy Spirit? Well, it says that He sends the Holy Spirit. He sends Himself as a Spirit into you. Nowhere does it say the Holy Spirit showed up in any form, does it? It says the Spirit is like the wind. You can't see it, but you see the effects of the wind and you see the effects of the Spirit. No one has seen God, who is Spirit. So how all of a sudden does Jesus Christ become a God? When the other two can't be seen and He is seen. And then if you read with an open heart, you begin to see things like He appears in the presence of God, not before a actual, you know, what we would consider a being with form, in the presence of God, in the presence of the throne of God. Well, you know what? I bet up in heaven, it's probably so beyond what we think is going on. I mean, I can't comprehend. All I know is if God can't be seen, He can be felt. And He can make His presence known by whatever, creating an aura that just says, and you know it's Him. You know, I had that experience way back when. And I was praying and praying, and I was pretty new and spending a lot of time in prayer and reading the Word. And of course, I'd been reading some other books too along with it at that time because I wasn't aware that, you know, and there was a guy who had 12 steps, and I said, Lord, I don't know if I can pray all these 12 steps. All I know is I want to know who You are. I want Your presence. And one morning, I was walking from the bedroom to go out into the hallway to go to the kitchen, and I just fell flat on my face in the carpet, and it's like I felt like my face was half submerged into the floor. You know, I mean, it's just like, and there was a feeling like, get up, and it's like, can't. And it was like someone was behind me. And, you know, so after a while it subsided, and I got up, and I went, and I thought, you know, it took days to kind of figure out what the heck that was. But it was like, I just showed you like one millionth of who I am. You know, and that's the impression I got. It wasn't like God Himself. I mean, if He would have, I'd have been disintegrated probably, you know, if He wanted me to, but He didn't. And so, you know, you don't forget things like that. It has an impact. And I've had a couple different things, and I don't know why. Keith's got all kinds of things. And he's had lots of dreams and, you know, and stuff, and different people have had things that have happened. And so right there it was like, yeah, I didn't know if there was actually a form behind me or anything. I just knew something put me on my face in the floor and said, yes, I am powerful and awesome, you know. And it wasn't a fear thing. It was a it was a neat thing, you know. I mean, it was like, wow, you know. I mean, this is, and I knew it was like he just took his little finger to do it, you know, if there is, you know, which there isn't, but that's in human, you know, we got to explain ourselves somehow. But so then you have Jesus who, he comes in the flesh and the blood. He has to die on the cross, has to shed blood to be the perfect sacrifice. And then he's raised without corruption. But all the time after that, he is still appearing in the form of a man. And he's a high priest. Never does it say God's a high priest. God's not an apostle, but Christ was. It says he is apostle and high priest of our confession. So, and it says he appears in the presence of God as this high priest for us. So, and it's the Son of Man is going to come back just as he left. All these, you know, and there's hundreds of those. Once you humble yourself, and God starts showing you these things in the Scripture. And that's how you know what? And that's how I've gotten to know, like Keith, to a very small degree, how awesome God is. And that he does want to share who he is. You know, and some of the things of why he is. You know, I spent for quite a while, and I know Corky related too, for a while, you know, just reading in the different areas of the Old Testament. And I thought, well, I don't know, you know, because I'd been listening to the New Testament all the time. Why was it? Well, you know what happened is, in there, God really defines who he is and how he controls everything. That's where there's a really good example of who God is and how much he is in control, because it makes reference to how he moved a king's heart to do this and an enemy to do this, and how he backed up his people with this. You know, they didn't even, you know, like the different exploits where 300 men and they destroy a whole army, but they didn't really even do anything. You know, just God went before him. You know, Gideon, I think it is, or whatever, but. And different things like that. But you just, when you're listening, like in Daniel, and you hear how God is affecting everything that's going on, you know, he's in control of it. And so today, that's why you just can't get, I can't get up in the politics anymore, because God's in control. God's in control. And, you know, back in Jesus' day, he said, honor those over you and everything else. But he wasn't political. He was just ministering, you know, and living by whatever law was set up. You know, that's why he told Peter, well, we don't want to offend him, so go pick this, get this fish and take the coin out of its mouth and pay the taxes. You know? Of course, I'd rather have that way of doing it, but than what we are right now ourselves. But you know, it says, "Peace, let my peace be with you, peace that is beyond understanding." Well, some of that peace has come through this word that lets you be free from the turmoils of the world. You know, because I can't control them. They say, oh, one person can make it. No, the only way one person makes an effect is if it was in God's plan for it to be effect, you know? So, it's, you don't have to be happy and like whoever's over you or whatever, but you need to have peace with the fact that you have a God that's watching out for you, you know? And to know that it's a blessing if you go through trials and tribulations, believe it or not. Amen. And it is. You won't think so, like the word says, Paul says. You won't, or maybe it was Peter, I don't remember. You won't like it when you're going through it, but you'll appreciate it when you come out of it. You know? And all of us have had that. And I know, God, you don't grow unless you fail. You know, I mean, And you got to see shortcomings and what happens because of it, you know? And so it takes faith. Faith that you can't see what's going to happen, but believing that he's in control of it. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, gee, how all of a sudden are we making a little more money that now we're made, you know? And I know we've prayed for people that find homes and they found them, you know, that fit them. So it's, I actually didn't get into, and I won't now, but a lot of what I was going to bring in Hebrews, but I was sharing some of the examples that if you read from chapter 1 through chapter 3, it just gives such a, I mean, maybe a lot of people wouldn't if they read it, but if your heart's open, it gives such an example of who Jesus Christ is compared to who God the Father is, you know? And it's incredible. See, men, it's becoming so much more plain. They won't like to hear this, but if men do not have the Spirit of God, they will come up with all kinds of things to try to make it look like they know what God's about. And so can a doctrine have started 1870 years ago, whatever. Could a doctrine have started and be wrong all this time? Yes. It happened all the time with the Jewish people. Israel, they went 400 years with nothing. Jesus shows up. They've had everything. They've had all the Old Testament words to learn by, and they can't identify him, even though it's been prophesied. So if you can't see this stuff in the Word, you got to admit to yourself something, you know, like we did. I mean, we really thought we were a God-fearing Bible church people for, 20-some years. What a surprise when you find out you weren't. But if you have a heart that God knows, and he knew for some reason, I guess, you know, that's all I can say, he knew for some reason that the people that he happened to put here, and this is nothing against who isn't here, we're just talking about what's happening with us, that he found all these humble hearts. And that when we come, we don't meet a whole bunch of times during the week discussing how we got to stick together and bring this. We don't do that. We just come and share, and it's always like fits. It's one saying, and maybe in a little different way, but it's saying, we're starting to say the same things. See the same things in the Word. That's the big thing. Seeing the same things. It's not one man dictating. You know? It's God dictating by His Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And freedom comes when you don't have to labor in the Word to know the truth. You let the Holy Spirit do the laboring in you, you know, by listening. Just listening. And it's a crazy thing. The hardest part is, oh yeah, okay, I'll listen and I'll read. But your mind can't be in it. Oh. I mean, that just confounds people. But I sat and analyzed, okay, the Spirit is going to teach me by me hearing the Word. So, and it says, you know, flesh and blood or whatever is not going to get you into the kingdom. So my brain is not going to get me to heaven. So the Holy Spirit comes in, because if you listen at night, because it says, blessed is the man who meditates day and night. Well, you know, you got to sleep. When you're hearing this in the night, the Spirit is going in there. You don't maybe understand. I don't understand it really. But then a couple weeks down the road, you may open the Word and all of a sudden, Scriptures start to mean something new to you. Because God was teaching you with the Holy Spirit all this time. And now He's letting you become aware of it. And it's a glorious thing. Yes, it is. It's like entering into the rest. Because you're not meditating day and night by studying the word with your intellect. Because the intellect is what come up with all these doctrines when they didn't have the Spirit. And they tried to, you know, see, the other thing humility does is let you admit on a kind of continuing basis openly that you don't have all the truth. Boy, the church does not want to do that. They want to know they're the truth. That's why you got to come here, because we have it. Except that there's 150 different variations of that. Now, how is that unity? You know, I heard somebody say, yes, you need to come. Or there was a song, you need to come to the church. No, you need to come to the Word of God first. And if that creates a church, great, you know. Or you can create a people that can come together and edify one another. But going to church is not going to get you the truth. Just going to church. And it's not going to get you a free pass into heaven. And that's harsh things. But, you know, the other thing is if you get in the Word, you realize how narrow the path is. And if you hear what Jesus says, and how many in His day didn't accept it, accepted it for a while, got too hard, walked away. Only a few stayed. Well, hopefully, and we're praying, we want to at least be some of the few that stay. You know, and we hope any of you who would be listening would stay. You know, and just open your hearts and let it become real.
Hey man, that was really good. You know, Keith opened up by, you know, again saying how God had impressed upon him on how awesome God is and how we're not in the wrong way, but just the gulf. You know, and I was thinking about that. One of the things that have always carried me to help me with that, and I'll use today's situation is, have you ever picked up a bucket of water? Do you know how heavy a bucket of water is? And then you take a bucket of water and you pour it out on the ground and it, you know, maybe covers 10 feet for a few seconds. And then you sit here and you go through a thunderstorm. And so you go, I wonder how much all that water weighs. Because you know what a little bucket weighs. Because you can relate to that. Literally, out of a thunderstorm, you get tons and tons and tons of water falling to the ground. Well, how do tons and tons and tons just float around in the air? How does God do that? And, you know, so it's a vapor. And vapor doesn't weigh anything. And I go, this vapor's holding, you know, cubic tons of water that weighs tons and tons, and it just, and God just floats it around and then sends it over somewhere and it rains. It comes down and you go. And we don't think of that. We just go, oh, that's just the way it is. And I'm going, God does that. That's how awesome God is. God can take something very heavy, make it weigh nothing, move it thousands of miles and have it fall down and grow crops for you to eat and sustain you. That's how awesome God is. And water, you know, we talk about water, you know, we're mostly water. Our bodies are mostly water. Water is one of the very few things that God created that when it's liquid, it weighs more than when it's solid. Most of the time, if you got something that's solid, it's heavy. It falls down. It goes to the bottom of it. But water, as it gets a solid, it goes to the top. That doesn't make sense. How does more thick something be lighter? Yeah? You ever think about that? You know, I've just heard scientists say, and it's a good thing too, because if ice didn't float at the top, Earth couldn't sustain life because it would have just kept floating at the top, and then we'd have no water. I mean, the scientists have come back and said it's a good thing water is lighter as a solid. But we don't think about that. We just take the blessing of what the water does and what it does for us, and don't dwell on the fact that how is my awesome God just doing this? And the farmers know we need water today. Today's a good day for water. We appreciate the rain. But that's just one way. And that's just one way I relate to why God is awesome and where he is and where I am. And that helps me with the humbleness that I need to have. You know, we're talking about staying humble, to be open. And we're talking about how the way to God is so narrow. And it is. And, you know, the scripture is really clear that once you commit the sin of saying, I've got it, you put yourself at peril. The minute you say, okay, Lord, I've taken it, I've got it, I'm good. The minute you think that, you put yourself at risk. And God turns around, and as he gives you things and things become more difficult, you go, you know, I just don't want that. I'm with you to hear, but if I got to give this up, I'm just not able to walk that walk. You know, Keith said, and I, you know, and this is really the root of your walk or your faith, which is, you know, why are we here? So, this is speculation. I'm not saying that I know, and I'm not quoting scripture here, but, you know, what does God really want from us? You know? And on one hand, you go, beats me. He certainly doesn't need me. Certainly nothing I can bring to the party that he's going, oh, I was really missing that. I'm glad you're here, you know? That's not it. I think he created us so that we could truly love him, so we could worship him. And along the way, he created us in such a way that to truly worship and love him is really hard because it goes against the way we are. You know, well, you could climb this mountain or you could walk through this nice level field. What do you do? You want to get to over there, but do you want to climb the mountain or do you want to go nice and easy? Well, you know, normally we would say, I'm going to go nice and easy. God doesn't do that for us. There's mountains and valleys and things to overcome. You know, so you can become a cynic and say, well, why does he do this? You know, why does he make it hard? Because I think he truly wants us to have to work at it. And we talk about the wonders of heaven versus damnation, and you go, well, something so wonderful probably isn't easy. At least that's what I've kind of concluded to. It's going to be tough. It's a straight path, and it's not that hard to understand the straight path, but it's hard to stay on the path, to continue to stay in the fight, because it's against our nature to want to have to fight. I mean, usually. I mean, with the right motivation, we can. So, I just speculate that, you know, what God really wants from us is to love him. And we have to accept that the way to get there is going to be difficult. And it's going against our nature, which makes heaven all that more special, because it's probably going to be a tough walk. And we are going to be tested. And as was brought out today, and I can certainly testify to that, that God has made me better through the trials that he's put in my way. if things come easy to us in the natural, we don't tend to learn as much. You know, there's things out there, you know, easy lessons or lessons that are not well learned, hard lessons or lessons that are learned very well. You know, I really wish I had done this. And it's easier to say that looking back than looking forward. And no one wants to borrow trouble. My God is good all the time. And if I can continue to hold on to that with all my faith, that I'm going to stay true to His Word the best that I can. I'm going to miss, but if I'm faithful, He will fix that. He will correct me. He will have grace and mercy for me to get a little bit better on that path. It's the trial that we have, but I appreciate that. You know, Ken brought something really quick, which just to settle in my soul as we were talking. It's like, you know, the church is the church. Wants you to feel comfortable and secure in what they're about to tell you is the total truth of God. And that way you can just feel comfortable in saying, I don't have to learn anymore. I've got the 5 steps or I've got the 10 steps or whatever, and I just go down my life and nothing more is required of you. The truth is, if you're in the Scriptures and you're in His Word, it doesn't work that way. And your security goes away. And all you know for sure is you have to repent. Admit you don't know anything. And basically divorce yourself from the natural and open yourself up to the spiritual. You know, and it's true. There are a lot of places today that are not going to tell you the things that you really need to know. Yet God is so good that even if you don't hear Him in a certain way, He can get you there. So, I mean, we don't have to, like, panic. But for whatever reason, He's allowed us to know that this is what we should be doing. And because we've been doing it, we're getting insights and revelations that we wouldn't have gotten any other way. You know, it's amazing to me when you look at the Scriptures and you see what Jesus says. And we've heard what Jesus has said for decades. And now you see that same thing and you go, oh, I realize He's not saying this, but He is saying this. And the more this happens, it seems to fit more because other things start to line up. And you just don't get that. If you approach your walk with God as if you already know where the destination is and exactly how to get there, you do it at your own peril. We know where we want to go. God's told us. We know how we got to get there because God's told us. But He really hasn't shown you the way unless you let the Spirit guide your path. And you can't let the Spirit guide your path until you take humanity out of the walk and fall on your face before God. And that's the hardest part, because you have to give up everything you know to get everything you want.
We went to a high school graduation Wednesday night, and that's my grandson, Dominic, and he's 17. And it was just about the time that he was born that I was feeling that if the Lord came, if I died, that I was going to go to hell. And, you know, and people could look at me and say, well, That's hard to believe. I don't believe that. You know what? It doesn't matter because I was convinced of it. And it was at that point that I heard a voice. The only time that this ever happened, I heard a voice said, "If you're serious, and if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am." Well, I have been a part of just about any religious organization that exists. I've looked here and I've looked there. I've been fundamental, denominational, anything. I've been a part of them, charismatic, Pentecostal, all the way down the line. And so as far as I was concerned, I kind of had it put together. I kind of knew what was right and what wasn't right and so forth. But in the process of hearing this voice, you got to look for me where I am. I was made to realize that the only place I can find God is in His Word. Now, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But we have umpteen translations. We have a lot of translations, and I know that there are people that have a certain translation. They say, I like this translation. And you know why most people like the translation that they use? It tends to favor whatever doctrine they believe. It favors them. And so we have, like the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and one of them about receiving the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of people who say that doesn't believe in the that doesn't belong in the Bible. And the reason they say that is because it's not in agreement with whatever doctrine they have. Well, anyway, the reason that we have this verse up behind me is 1 Timothy 2, actually 3 could be included, but 4 and 5 especially, is because every translation that we can find says that. It says it just like that. And that verse setting is a major, major, major revelation, understanding. And Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." And I got thinking about that this morning, about the eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And I'm thinking, he's given us a picture of something that has taken me a long, long time to begin to understand. And very, very few people do. But he's letting us know something about who and what he is. And he was a man. He is a man. And according to the scriptures, he always will be. It doesn't mean that we're going to, that his flesh will be in heaven, but but the man, the soul, is what makes up a man. And so, the thing that I begin to see, I was told you got to look for him where I am, and then I was directed in the same setting to just take the word and eat it and drink it and devour it day and night. And we did. You know what? I've done that for years. You know what the truth is? I've never done that. I had never done that before. Because every church organization that I have ever been a part of had its own flavor, its own private interpretations, its own whatever it is. And I realized that there is not any church system that goes by the Word of God. They go by what they want in the Word. They don't go by the Word. They go by what they like in the Word. Been there, done that. That's where I was. That's who I was. How many hours have I spent? I mean, I'm going on 81. How many hours have I spent over the years with commentaries, Bible commentaries, trying to find things in the commentaries with scripture passages that agreed with what I believed? trying to find evidence of what I believed. I mean, do you suppose I was the only one? That's common. I came out of a church organization. That's all we did. That's why I had the commentaries. I had the Matthew Henrys. That was one of them that my favorite. James Fawcett and Brown. And I had all these different commentaries. I would look into the commentaries. What was I looking for? An agreement to what I already believed. And one day, because I got desperate, God had mercy and said, if you want to find me. And I realized I couldn't find him through these things that I was taught, what I believed. I had to humble myself. The Bible says, except you become converted and become as a little child. I had to change my approach to God. And so what is happening in my old age, and I told somebody the other day, I don't remember who it was, I said, I am the most excited in God that I have ever been. And when you get old, and I know somebody who said that made a statement that almost as old as I am, this was a few years ago, and said, they're older than me now, but I mean, this is a number of years ago, and they said, I've heard it all, I've seen it all, I've been a part of it all, I've got to just sit back and relax and wait for the rapture. And I'd like to say, lots of luck. Lots of luck. The other day, I think last week, something came up, and it was like, I think Ken was messing about loving God, and remember it was something about it, and you just feel like that you don't love him like you used to and whatever, and I started running into some scriptures, and especially the 15th, 16th, even into the 17th chapter of John. And here's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. How many times do you suppose he says that in chapter 15, 16, and 17? And then he says, another place, if you love me, keep my commandments, and my Father will love you. You know, it's like God is wanting to bring us into something, but the only way to get there is through his word. It doesn't happen through the church. And this is sounds kind of strange and whatever, but I have not ever been a part of any church that does what God has been doing in me in the last 17 years. I was just mentioned about being at your graduation, Dominic, and it's been about that long that I have been listening to the scriptures. And so Dominic, bless his soul, he inherited a father, but that didn't work that way. He was born to a father who, for some reason, which we, and Candy and I were talking about the other day, it's just like, talk about miracles. This stranger comes over from Chile, and he picks up this thing, which a lot of my friends couldn't grasp this thing. When I said, we have to listen to the scriptures day and night, they couldn't grasp it. He picked it up and he started doing the same thing. And so Dominic, who has a very intelligent mind, also has a blessed spirit because he has been listening to God's word day and night, just like I have been. You know what? The Bible says the word of God does not return void. You know what that means? That word that is in this young fellow, that is very intelligent, has been done very well in school, the word that is in him is the most blessed and precious thing that he has ever gotten into his system. It does not return void. It will accomplish what God has sent it forth to do, it says. Isn't that what it says, Candy? It will accomplish what God sends it forth to do. Do you know what it also, what John the Baptist also said in the third chapter of John? He said, he who God sends speaks the words of God. That's what he said. He who God sends, Jesus says, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, it says, in days past, in the former times, God spoke to the fathers, the Jewish fathers, through the prophets. God spoke. It took me a long time to see what the scripture said. God spoke through these guys. Holy men of old, it calls them. And it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. So the New Testament is still God speaking. Through his Son and his Son's disciples. And so if we want to find God, I was in a church denomination and didn't find him. And when things began to happen and the power of God began to come down upon Joanne and I, and we started seeing miracles and signs and things that I didn't even know existed today, instead of everybody, well, quite a few people in the church understood, and that was the formation of Community Chapel, the beginning of it. But the church, by and large, said, you need to go to a different church. We are what we are. We've been this way for years and years and years, and you need to go to a different church. Well, it happened that a church was formed, a thing was formed out of that. Not, I wasn't in charge of it, but it happened. And God bless us. Sent us back here, and now we're in the process of seeing a new thing. A blessing. So anyway. And I'm excited.
Tied in with something, I wanted to share an area, because it's funny how for the path to be narrow, it seems like there has to be a sacrifice or something, you know. And Jesus in Matthew 9:12 or 13, I'll read first. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense in a way. You know, it's been hard. I've kind of struggled with that scripture. But this morning, see, before that, in verse 12, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, because the Pharisees were kind of arguing with him and whatnot, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And you know what? That pertains to exactly what we've been talking about. If you think you have the truth and you're good, then you're in the setting that says you don't need a physician because you're not sick. But if you admit you're sick, then God says, I will have mercy on you. And you know what mercy creates in a person when they know God has come and had mercy on them? They say, I'm willing to sacrifice. See, Jesus, he knew he had the mercy, but and what made God love him so much Because he kept denying himself and doing what the Father wanted. And guess what? I am not there. But that's where I want to be. And I'm hoping for the day. And you know, this I got a little glimpse of, I mean, I got some real hope or whatever, because I've been in this church for 30-some years, probably, 33. Been listening to this word for 16 years, maybe, because I didn't totally grab it right away. And what am I doing as far as presenting the gospel? Well, all of a sudden, the Lord in the Spirit said, what about my son Abraham and my son Zechariah and whatever, who at that time, see, it was a big deal to have children, especially it was great if your firstborn was a son. But if you didn't have any children, you were kind of the talk, you know. It's like, well, if God thinks Abraham's so great, how come he hasn't had a son yet? You know, by, let's see, his wife, Sarah, right? Well, he went almost his whole life, both of them, and then God gave it. So is it worth, if I go 30, 40 years before I see maybe what I feel God wants of me, and it happens? Yes. Unequivocally, yes. And I also sat and thought about my children, because they were gone from my house and everything when I started listening to this word. Fortunately, it took a long time, but my wife was still there. And in the end, she saw it, you know, saw what the change had happened and so forth. So, you know, and I've been walking around lately and going, boy, it would be so nice if I had my wife. You know, for the little, you know, just the companionship and the whatever. But the consolation is, that's a trial. And I know where she is. That's the consolation. And so I can do this through Him who strengthens me, you know? And it's gotten to be slowly, and I believe this Lord probably doing it, but my desire to have any other companion is just pretty much starting to fade away, because, you know what, at this point, probably would get in my way for what God wants. I mean, seriously. And sure, I would like to have, I'd love to have all some of those things in the flesh. But the Spirit, it's like, and I've sat and thought, and I see somebody or somebody introduces or whatever, and I go, first of all, I have lots of criterion for me, what I would want physically, but that none of that would matter if they're not there, what I want spiritually. And you know what? That drops the odds about 1,000,000 to 1 in this area. It does. So, go without. You know, but, oh, my children, but the consolation is, you know, I was a kid, and my parents were, well, I grew up on, I was born on a farm in Iowa, and my dad was German, and it was like a clan, you know, there was, they all were coming over from the other country, you know, and they settled, and they were farmers, and so the whole community basically would be German, and certain families, you know. So it was a Missouri Senate Lutheran church that they went to. And, you know, I was only kind of influenced by that for about 6-7 years of my life. And then we moved into town, and I think we went to a church there. Well, then when we moved up to Minneapolis, they had to go to Missouri Senate. They'd go to the church, which that's all, you know, once in a while went to the church. So I went through confirmation there. So what I'm saying is, I got introduced to a very small amount of the Word of God. But you know what? I know it didn't go void. I know that's what made me realize some things that happened in my life, and all of a sudden, that's where I turned to. You know? like I was an alcoholic for a long time. Well, God was my higher power to start. You know, there was no doubt. But then it was like, you know, through the grace of God and His mercy, He just put me in situations. I ended up marrying a woman that some of her family was saved, and they made it a point to try to, you know, just drop little things here and there, and eventually it took. So that my kids got a lot more of the Word actually than I did being here, you know. They got a lot of other stuff too, which I've heard about, which is a hard thing. You know, it's hard to hear some of the negativity that they got from being, you know, in this particular setting at that time. But I understand how and why. It's just because we weren't all there, and we aren't now, today even, you know. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to say, well, that's great, but that's not your excuse. You're still accountable, you know. You're still accountable just like I am for where I came from, for, you know, every other person. It's still between you and Him. And you can't make excuses about what you might have heard wrong or got treated wrong or whatever. You know, it's... So, that's part of the... See, those things are the faith that's being built because of the Word of God. And see, the sacrifice that the Israelites were making, or the Jews, at the time that Jesus spoke that setting in Matthew to them, was they said, well, we're keeping the law. But they weren't, they were keeping the law by being not lovingly sacrificing to keep the law. They were doing it legalistically to keep the law and make themselves right. And so they weren't sick anymore in their mind. And God, and then Jesus was saying, well, then I have no physician for you, you know, which they didn't understand, of course. And so that's actually, as I was sitting there, that's all what we've been talking about. You have to come to the place where you admit you're sick and you need a physician, and that physician is Jesus Christ, and then His Father can begin to teach you, you know. His words, Jesus spoke them, and that's the incredible thing. You read through all of that, what Keith said, chapters 13 through 17 or whatever, all the time it's, these are the words my Father gives me to speak. I only say what my Father gives me to say. I only do what my Father tells me to do. You know, that's, I am so far from that. But He is capable of getting me there, and you, if you're in the same predicament I am, which I know you are, because we are, you know. So, that's our confidence. That's our faith, that He will be able to do it. And I lose track of that a lot of times, but, and I'm sure some of you do the same thing. I don't, maybe not, but that's where I am, you know. But, so, God is great, like Corky always says, and God is good.
Hello. I was just thinking, listening to, you know, all the people that come up here, that I used to like to listen to these evangelists on TV. You know, they kind of get you all excited about something. But they were up there, and then, of course, they, you know, have the pledges, and they want you to pledge and send in money, and they'll send you a gold handkerchief or something. You know, but I like to listen to them. But you know what? They don't compare. I was comparing the people that get up here every Sunday. It's so rich, and it's so good, and you just felt like you just ate this good chicken dinner. You know, it feeds your soul. It's so good, and it's, I don't know how you guys feel, but I just feel so good I hear everything that they're saying, and it's right from the heart of God, from their heart, and from the heart of God. And it's real. And those evangelists that are on TV, you know, when they get all done, send your money, you know. And they promise this and promise that. And they don't have any appeal at all to me anymore. Because it's just kind of like a hype. But I appreciate everything that everybody shares from the pulpit. And I like your pastor, too.
The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the expressed image of the invisible God. That's the scripture. He was the expressed image. Expression meaning vocal. He spoke what the invisible God wanted spoke. Well, let me say something which became real obvious to me this last week. The entire book of Acts is the disciples of Jesus who also became the expressed image of the invisible God. And so even though Jesus was the expressed image, so was Paul, so was Peter, so was John. I mean, they expressed the image of God. They expressed what God wanted them to say. Well, let me take this a little further. I was told to find God, I had to look for him where he is. And Peter says in the 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4, he says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. God's intention for you and me and his people, his intention for us is to become an expressed image of the invisible God. Let's come up to the front.